This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Thank you. A quorum is present. We are here to conduct a little bit of business today. Thank you for everybody getting online and adapting to this relatively short notice. Reed, I'm going to turn it over to you. We have consideration of IT upgrades for committee rooms and legislative offices.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the board for taking time this morning for this quick and important meeting. As you may recall, at your meeting on August 31, when you approved the budget, there was also some motion passed with regards to supplemental appropriation for the current fiscal year, and part of that motion in part requires that the board approve additional items that are purposes of COVID-19 mitigation, and we have identified for you three contracts that need approval. There are contracts ready for me to sign for two of the projects, and one is ancillary to the two, and I'll get through that for you. The first is dealing with voice over internet protocol, or VoIP. This project will replace your existing phone system with the new digital Microsoft Teams VoIP system. This will enable legislators in your leadership offices, as well as our LRC employees, and I believe in the chambers as well, to answer calls using their handsets or with Microsoft Teams using either your computers or mobile devices, which in essence will allow you to communicate from about anywhere. This will make remote work a little easier. The second item is with committee room upgrades. The committee room upgrade project is focused on improving remote access to those meetings. In addition to many behind-the-scenes upgrades, the main components that you will be visible to you will be increased usage of cameras. Currently, the cameras are only to display the legislator seated at the committee room desk. Additional cameras would be used for the presenter desks in each room. In rooms 413 and 362, a camera would be added for a sign language interpreter to help assist with compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Also, there would be additional microphones will be added in each room in case members need to be spread out more and participate from audience seating. In room 412, monitors would be set up on the desk similar to what you currently see in 414 to make it easier for members to see presentations. In room 499, there will be an update similar to the IT upgrades that are in rooms 363 so that more rooms are capable for remote meetings. The connections between these two things is a ancillary vendor that will be identified here shortly to help with the additional cabling for these two projects and the pulling of wires through the walls of the annex and I believe a little bit in the Capitol. None of this will affect the current presentation or view of the building. This sort of work has been done before by these vendors, and so it's just part of the logistics to make everything else work together. I think Tammy has provided you with a list already of where things are currently at as to what we may have, what we've approved so far. The only thing you've approved so far, or excuse me, I should say that I've approved so far, was enhancements for the sound and voting systems in the chambers. That was done in early to mid-August before your August 31 board meeting. With that, I will stand for questions, and I may likely defer to Tammy, and I don't know if Scott's online yet or not.
Oh, I am online. Sorry, I'm just up here in 414 okay. Sitting at the presenter desk.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you, Scott. Scott, do you have anything else to add?
Not at this point. I think you pretty well covered it.
Scott is have these items been viewed by the subcommittee? They've been discussed quite a bit in the past, have they not?
Yeah, we brought them up with the tech subcommittee at our last couple of meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Peterson.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you. A couple questions, if I might, for our director. Could you just repeat again exactly what was previously approved prior to our executive board meeting? And then also a question about RFPs that were issued for these items that are on the list to approve today. But go ahead with the first question, if you would.
What's been approved is enhancements for the sound and voting systems in both chambers for audio input and output. And I will defer to Scott to explain a little more detail about that.
Yeah, basically it would just make the chambers Microsoft Teams friendly. So for example, on veto day this last session, we were forced to hold session from the committee rooms because they were the only things we had that worked with this software. So the changes that IRC, that's our vendor that we use for the chamber systems, well, they're adding some extra technology in there so that we can hook a computer up and run a session. Like if we end up with that same veto day session scenario, we'll be able to run it from the chambers. That way we'll have more seating for members that are local and can have everybody in the same room and then tie in the voting board too. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. And then the follow-up question, if I might, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please go ahead, Representative.
Thank you. So, Mr. Director, can you just describe the RFPs that have been issued for all of these items that we're looking at right now, approving today, and then any that we might in the future?
Ms. Chairman, I'm going to defer to Sue and Scott to help answer that question with me here as to the flowing process for procuring vendors in these specialized instances?
I can say that no RFPs were issued for these items. It might be a Sue or Tammy question for the exact rule, but IRC has been our vendor on the voting system for longer than I could remember anyway. And the same situation for the committee rooms, where AVI has been our vendor for the committee rooms since the remodels in, I'll say, 2008, 2009. And our VoIP system, we use the same vendor there that the executive branch has been using. And I think the rule is there, if it's under $50,000, you don't have to go RFP on that one. But there is some kind of a rule out there that says if it's like an existing vendor, then you can skip the RFP process. But I'll let maybe Tammy or Sue might be more familiar with that exact rule.
Tammy or Sue, would you be able to answer that question more fully?
This is Tammy. I was waiting to see if Sue is going to answer it. So AVI is actually an existing state-approved vendor. So they've gone through, the state has gone through and performed like a statewide RFP, for lack of a better word, to bring AVI on, and they do a lot of the work. IRC, like Scott said, they're an existing vendor. It kind of comes down to a sole source, since they're really do the work and they're familiar with our system. And then, I'm sorry, Scott, what was the other, who was the other vendor that you talked about? Right. So again, those are also, it's a state approved vendor. So it's already part of the state system. They've already gone through the work, so we can tag on and use them.
I can just follow up too, that we did work with Carol on this, and she did confirm with purchasing that what we were doing does meet guidelines for these projects.
Representative Peterson, anything else? Any follow-ups?
I don't think so at this time. I think it's good to be able to use existing vendors, and in some of these projects we do need to move quickly, but I just wanted to make sure that we were in compliance with whatever RFP rules were in place, and so I appreciate that answer. Thank you.
Anybody have anything else? Please, go ahead.
Just a question, I guess, on where the funds come for all of this?
Director Holwegner or Tammy probably would be the best.
I'm going to defer to Tammy to explain the details here of how this funding is flowing.
All right. Thank you, Reed. So this is Tammy. And this funding right now, what we're looking at are items that we would use the Coronavirus Relief Fund to pay for these, since they are for mitigation or preparation for a potential either virtual or partially in-person, partially virtual session. And so, we can tie the cost back, these upgrades being related to COVID. So we will be able to use the Coronavirus Relief Fund.
Senator Heiner. Yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear. So thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Representative Peterson.
Thank you. Just another follow-up question to my prior question that kind of occurred to me. Do we have some process for verifying when we don't do RFPs that our existing vendors are, in fact, still price competitive and also quality and innovation competitive on some sort of periodic basis so that we don't get locked into something and, you know, get complacent or something and thinking we're up to date with all of those things and maybe over time that changes and we don't know it?
Anybody care to take a stab at that?
Mr. Chairman, go ahead, Tammy.
Okay. So, and I don't recall the timeline right offhand, but I know the state, when they do like the statewide vendors like AVI and stuff, they do go back out every 5 or 7 years and redo that process. But I can't recall the exact time frame.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question of Tammy?
Please.
Is that responsibility of either like the Bureau of Administration or BIT?
Yeah, it's BIT. We'll issue that work with BOA on it.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, quick follow-up.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you. If the timeline is 5 to 7 years, that seems like quite a long time, especially when we're dealing with technology and really in any sort of thing. Things move so quickly and change so quickly now. I would appreciate some clarification on that by our staff, just so that we know. And maybe we need to go out and do some of our own verifications or ask about, you know, would the state consider doing those things on a more frequent basis?
I can have Carol talk to procurement and find out that exact time frame.
All right. I heard somebody else seeking the floor.
This is Scott. I was just going to say that AVI, they do have you're right, we should definitely do some extra evaluation, but AVI does do a lot of work for state government and several buildings around campus, you know, even outside in Sioux Falls and Rapid City. They are an excellent vendor, have a very good reputation. And IRC, as far as they go too, I think it used to be two companies, IRC and Daktronics, kind of were the two main competitors in the voting system. And at some point, they kind of partnered up. So Daktronics provides the voting boards, and IRC took over the software. So that's really the only vendor I know about, even talking to other states on a regular basis, that does anything chamber-wise. But we'd have to do some searching around to see if there's anybody else to look at in that market.
Reed, I see you have your hand up. I see your hand went down and your microphone didn't become live, so that must mean you're...
Okay, thank you. Scott had mentioned AVI, which would be doing the committee room upgrades. The VoIP system would be installed by High Points Networks, and the cabling would be done by Wind Circle, are the three companies we're looking at.
All right. Anything further, Representative Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one final comment. I don't have any specific knowledge of any of these particular companies or their work or their prices or anything. I was, you know, just wanted to make sure on a general basis that we're comfortable with being in compliance with rules related to RFP and that we're, you know, doing due diligence, and even if we have to do over and above what is done by the executive branch. Just wanted to confirm that on a general basis. Thank you.
Scott, as the tech guru, do you have any anecdotal evidence as to how some of these proposals fit in the pricing scheme in the marketplace?
I don't really have any comparisons, no. But like I say, they have a very good reputation all over, and they've been an excellent vendor, very responsive for us. But I did make a note of that, so we can do in our next upgrades, we can definitely evaluate some other vendors and make sure that we're getting a good deal and that they're doing a good job and very comparable to other vendors.
All right, thank you. So, Reed, at this point, what you're asking for today is consideration of the committee room upgrades, which is $348,335, and the VoIP for remote LRC staffing. VoiceOver, $33,671, and the associated cabling, which is $15,000. Is that correct? Are those the items that we have to look at today?
That is correct.
And so we're talking about approximately, let's call it $380,000.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Of which presumably all could be utilized, or all the dollars could be COVID dollars because it's COVID related in costs that we'd be incurring. And just a question for Tammy, probably, have you checked with the administration as to whether, and I'm certainly not saying that they're the end all and be all, but do they agree that these would be COVID related, or does that ask have to be made yet?
Mr. Chair, Reed and I did sit down with Liza, and she did agree that these appeared to be COVID related.
Okay, very fine. Is there anything else that anybody would like to discuss relative to the ask before us today?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So, Representative Johnson?
Yes, sir, please.
So my question is more on a practicality side and a question about how long this is going to last. Under the legislative members, I see the sneeze guards at desks, three-sided, for 105 desks. Is this part of what we're approving? Or is it not?
It is not.
Okay. Well, then maybe this is not an appropriate time to discuss it, but I have a question about that.
You could go ahead. What we are ultimately looking at is in the left column, there are three that say for consideration 921. But I'll let you go ahead and ask that question.
Okay, well, thank you. I don't want to open up a can of worms, but, you know, you just envision yourself on the floor And these sneeze guards, first of all, my understanding is that most people are saying that by 2022, pretty much at the latest, COVID's not going to be here anymore. And we're not going to be dealing with it. And are these things designed to remain after COVID? Do we have a date by which we're planning on removing these and marching on as we used to? And also, what happens when we stand to give a to make a speech or a floor speech or discuss a bill? People communicate with their hands and their body as much as they do with their words, and so I'm not quite sure how all that's going to work out. I'd like to get a picture in my mind of how that works.
All right, Reed or somebody else with LRC, can you tell us, are these things going to be temporary if we install them, or what the long-term prognosis is for utilization of those?
Mr. Chairman, those other items are, still under works and need to be reviewed and ultimately considered and done a final consideration and approval by the board here. What I wanted to do is kind of outline where we thought things were at in the planning stages on the staff side. So those items that you're seeing are still pending. And there is, you may recall, a subcommittee for dealing with planning for the next session.
Yeah.
So, as to how things are finally designed and put into place is unknown at this time. However, anything that's done is most likely going to be temporary in nature, not something that is permanent. I'm not envisioning that. I'm not wanting to make any sort of suggestions to that effect. So this is just to give you an idea of where things are at.
Awesome. Thank you. Anything else as far as the committee has in terms of questions? Would there be a motion to accept the request again to allow for LRC to proceed with the committee room upgrades, the voice over internet protocol, and the cabling associated with VoIP?
So moved by Smith.
I move it.
Okay, it's been moved.
Second, Stalzer.
Well, I think it's been moved by Representative Smith, seconded by Senator Heinert.
Okay.
You can give it to Senator Stalzer. That's fine.
Okay. Well, go ahead and give it to Senator Stalzer. A little bipartisanship early in the morning. I like it. All right. Any discussion on that? Hearing none.
Yeah, I just really appreciate the effort that's gone into this, and I think that it is a exactly what this COVID relief money should be used for, because this is a COVID-related cost, and I appreciate them looking out for our legislature. So thank you for your hard work, staff.
Thank you. Anything further? Hearing none, those in favor will say aye, and those opposed say no. The secretary will call the roll.
Bolin, excused. Ewing, excused. Langer?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
White? Gosh. Representative Gosh? Gross. Oh, excuse. Johnson?
Aye.
Mills?
Mills, aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Qualm?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Haugard?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Gosh? Mr. Chair, you have 10 ayes, 5 excused.
Thank you. So the motion, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is declared passed. Reed, is there anything else that we need to discuss here as an executive board this morning?
No, Mr. Chairman, that exhausts your agenda.
Wonderful. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And that was?
Stalzer.
Thank you, Senator Stalzer. Is there a second?
Second. Haugard.
Haugard. Representative Haugard. Those in favor of the motion will say aye.
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 Those opposed say no. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Have a